The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect those of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.
And good Tuesday morning, and welcome to another edition of Analyze This here on your NPR station in the U.S. Virgin Islands, WTJX FM, with yours truly, Neville James. It is a lovely but warm day in paradise, but we're in paradise nonetheless, so we can make the best of it. I'm saying we got the Virgin Islands Housing Authority resident wellness empowerment Resident Wellness Empowerment Department here in the studio with us. We're going to be talking to them in hour number one. And then hour number two, we should be hearing from Dr. Tai Camille Hunt-Caesar about a wellness summit coming up on June 1st to June 9th here in the Virgin Islands. So, you know, let me get right to it. Got the big shots here from the Virgin Islands Housing Authority in the studio. They were supposed to be four deep, but they're going to do the trifecta this morning. So we're grateful to have them here. So I'm going to just yield to them and have them introduce themselves, and then we can talk about the Stay in the Loop campaign. Morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Neville James. How you feeling today?
I'm good. Thanks for asking. Appreciate
My name is Curtis Lewis, the Marketing and Communications Specialist at the Virgin Islands Housing Authority in the Resident Wellness and Empowerment Department.
So I'm talking about.
Good morning, Virgin Islands. Good morning, Neville. Happy to be in the studio this morning. My name is Emanuela Perez Casillas, and I am the Director of Resident Wellness Empowerment with the Virgin Islands Housing Authority.
Good morning.
Happy Tuesday. Happy Tuesday, Virgin Islands. I am Ajani Azebo Brown, the Strategic Initiatives and Program Coordinator for the Resident Wellness and Empowerment Department at the wonderful Virgin Islands Housing Authority.
That's what I'm talking about. So, first of all, this Yankee Twang, I got this man. You know what I'm saying? I like it. You know, it's all good. So we're good. We're good with that. You know what I'm saying? Just want to let it be known. So if y'all want to keep Yankee, go right ahead. Sound good. You know what I'm saying? So, Mr. Lewis.
Yes.
Before we get to the Stay in the Loop campaign, you know something? I need to go to Ms. Perez Casillas, because I see director of the Resident Wellness. So let me show some respect here. How's the Resident Wellness Empowerment Department going?
Well, you know, we are celebrating a lot of celebrations this year. First of all, we've got 1 year out with the newsletters, but also remember we came here last year telling you about Bright Path and the strategic approach we're using at engaging our residents. So to date, we have over 400 resident wellness assessments completed. We've completed need assessments in our communities. We are still connecting our resident community partners within our communities. I think we've done about 6 partnerships specifically in regards around senior citizens this year alone. And so we're really, really doing the walk, Neville. We're walking with our residents, we're working for our residents, and we're empowering our residents by making sure that these resident councils are up and running and funded and connected to the right people to get the right walk done.
How did the councils come about?
Oh, that's Ajani. Ajani Azebo Brown is here to tell you all about the councils and how they come about. So Ajani?
Well, as you know, it's a whole process. They do go through an election. I do most of the legwork, you know, canvassing the different communities with my team, knocking on doors, just building interest with the residents. And then once we find those candidates who are interested, they go through a process where they fill out an application, a background check is done. We confirm that they're in good standing with the property management. And then from there, you know, they're put on the ballot and it's an election. We do hire a third party contractor, though, to conduct the election. So and want to make sure there's no bias.
I was just about to say, you know, you understand the process.
you're basically CYA, you know, right. And that's good. I like that.
So and they're good qualifications also, like any other candidate position in the Virgin Islands. They must have completed their background checks, but they also must be in good standing with the Virgin Islands Housing Authority. And they have to also make sure that they go out there and campaign and get their community to buy in. So they put their flyers up, they do their spiels, they shake hands. It's empowerment to the level of making civic responsibility within their small community, hoping that that impact extends out to the wider community.
Yes, that's awesome. Mr. Lewis, how many different facilities under the VIHA umbrella?
You're talking about the physical buildings?
Physical buildings, yeah.
Right now, there's 16.
16?
Yes.
What's the breakdown?
Breakdown.
Per district.
Per district. St. Croix, John F. Kennedy, David H. Jackson.
Red Brick.
I know you were going to say that.
Alfonso P. G. Gerard.
That's right. Bass Central.
Yeah. Joseph E. James. Mount Pleasant. Ara Diaz Heights. The Heights. Mm-hmm. Wilfred Pedro. Mm-hmm. Molly 1 and 2. Molly Edition 1 and 2. Wow. Williams Delight. Candido Guadalupe.
The majority of them are St. Croix.
That's St. Croix. St. Thomas. We have Oswald Harris Court, mm-hmm. otherwise known as
Newhausen.
That's Newhausen, right? And what's PMP?
Ghettos. We have the Knolls at Canton.
So Pearson Baden is one, right?
Yes.
Right. The Knolls at Canton, Kerwin Terrace, Estate Bavoni, H.H. Bergs Homes and Additions, mm-hmm. and Lucinda Millen. Anything I forgot? You got everything?
Content?
I said that one.
You said content, okay.
What's the content name?
Bavoni.
The Knolls at Content.
Knolls at Content.
Yes.
Okay. K-N-O. Mm-hmm. Right?
K-N-O-L-L-L-L,
right?
Yes.
Okay, Knolls at Content. Okay. You sure that's 16? I seen like one at 16 and all. Is it Kennedy, right? Mm-hmm. Red Brick, Bastion Triangle. Joseph James is where?
Behind the Sunny Isles.
Oh, okay, yes, on the other side. And then Mount Pleasant, Ara Diaz Heights, Wilfred Pedro, Mali 1 and 2. That's 9 and 0.
That's 1,
Candido. He said Candido.
No, I get to that there.
Marley Homes and Additions is 2.
One lake, right?
One lake, yeah.
Okay, so we're at 8 now, mm-hmm. right? Candido Guadalupe, right? That's 9. WD. Who's WD?
Williams Delay. Right.
That's 10.
It's 10.
You telling me you only got 6 in St. Thomas when you call off on them? No, sir. You call more than 6 in St. Thomas.
Call it.
Right. Newhausen, Oswald Harris. Mm-hmm. Ghettos, Paul and Pearson. Mm-hmm. Corwin Terrace. That's 13. Mm-hmm. Bavoni, 14. Knowles, I can't count, 15. Lucinda Millen, 16.
17.
H.H.
Berg.
The Berg. 17, my boy. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
One shot.
Yeah. So, no, but first of all, congratulations. You know, that you have this, I would say, voluminous amount of facilities, physical areas that you are responsible for, and you put in place a resident wellness empowerment program, which is awesome. I like that. And the most important thing about it is, you're not really telling people or telling residents, shouldn't refer to them as people, telling residents how to do it. You're actually involving them in playing a decision-making role in what's going on with their neighbors.
Yes, it's about community engagement at mm-hmm. the end of the day. And, you know, change is happening, as mm-hmm. we know. This change is happening with mm-hmm. the physical portfolios, as we just named out. We're going through a transition period where we're redeveloping the communities. Mm-hmm. But there's also change happening in the way how we engage with the residents as well. We're trying to empower them, coming up with new innovative ideas, mm-hmm. and, you know, deepening our communication with the residents, which is why we're here this morning, obviously.
Yeah,
I like that.
Yeah,
we're constantly adding on new ways and new methods of engaging with them as well and getting them empowered.
So I gonna have some fun with you now.
That's what we come to do.
No, I like it because you went You went Yankee and Cruzan in the same sentence. Like you said, changes is happening, which is Cruzan. If you're going Yankee, you know, changes are happening, my brother. You know what I'm saying? So, well, yo, I want the changes is. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's a local show. You know what I'm saying?
He's laughing. One of the things.
So, don't change it.
No. I'm going to explain.
Pun intended.
One of the things that Emmanuel was looking for when she was hiring was
they were trying
to find that local connection, right? Yeah, so we have to identify with our audience.
Yeah, I'm with this, but I just want you not paying attention. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I like this, you know what I'm saying? So we good. Yo, why did Adina Joseph not show up? What's up, man? I take these things personal. I'm hurt. I'm devastated. What's up with that, man? Well, I might be faking, you know what I'm saying?
She's going to be back to see you, right? So but the reason why is because she's a West girl and we all go up East and we have to be here for a certain time.
She's excused.
Traffic and stuff kind of threw her off. Okay, there we go. Adina Joseph, it's official. You have been excused.
No, I'm with that.
Yes, she'll be here for the next one.
No, I'm cool with that. Dun-dun-dun, hey, so, my man, what's up, man?
Everything blessed. How you doing?
So you ran the election?
Yes.
And it went smooth, the actual election process?
Yes.
No, after the election, are you supposed to win? Something happened?
No, we didn't get none of that? There is a grievance period of 15 days, though. So if there was anything, you know, residents do have that opportunity to go in and say, hey,
and that didn't happen?
No, that didn't happen.
Okay, that's good.
We try to do everything by the book, you know, make sure all the T's are crossed, the I's dotted.
That's what I'm talking about. And the third party entity, are you at liberty to mention who they are or you want to leave that out? Because it's business.
We can say the person that we used.
Go ahead.
Okay, we use John Abramson.
That's what I'm talking about. That's the man.
Yes.
He's certified in hosting elections in the Virgin Islands.
That's probably why there was no.
Yes. You know.
Ranting and raving afterward because he knows all of the processes and all that
exactly.
stuff.
Exactly. So, Who better to do it?
So, Johnny Remsen, take a bow. You know what I'm saying? We're good with that. So, resident wellness, by definition, Ms. Perez Casillas is?
What is resident wellness?
Resident wellness, yes.
Resident wellness is based on the 8 dimensions of wellness. So, it is a personal journey that each household takes based on the assessment given.
Yeah. Hold on a second. Should I have said resident wellness? No, it's resident wellness is. It can't be resident wellness. So, resident wellness is.
Yes.
But multiple dimensions.
There are multiple dimensions. That are based on multiple dimensions.
Okay.
All these dimensions go from spiritual wellness all the way to their financial wellness, their academic wellness. It's a cycle that they get to. Occupational wellness, vocational wellness. We look at all these areas and that helps to determine what areas we need to prioritize for this specific household and what plan do we put in place to get them to the next step. So when they do this assessment, we ask very intimate questions that are confidential in keeping, but these questions give us a better insight of what this person is going through. When we ask you, hey Neville, how is your financial wellness? What comes to your mind?
Are they receptive to this? To you looking out for their best interest?
We're almost 500 in now, right? In 1 year, because remember, we launched this in 2022.
Mm-hmm.
So we're now getting people into the place where they're ready and more people are participating in it. But we also have trained individuals. Our coordinators are trained individuals that know how to go between the Yankee and the Cruzan to keep connected with our residents, right? Like the same skill set that you're talking about that you want to see here is the same skill set we send in front of them. So it breaks down a lot of those barriers and we dive deeper when they say, what do you mean by financial wellness?
Mm-hmm.
I say, if you are to wake up tomorrow, what are the things that you need to have in your life that would make you sleep easy at night, knowing you don't have to worry about when it comes to money?
Mm-hmm.
I want my bills paid off. I want a job that could cover my bills. So when we listen to these things, we start writing down, okay, so currently this household is not making the type of money they need, or this household is relying too much on subsidy to be able to maintain a wellness financially, so it's stressing them out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we look at this, and that's how the conversation goes, and then we build from there with our residents. So wellness is directed based on what they give us, based on the questions we ask around their specific areas of wellness.
Mr.
Wait, I didn't finish.
No, go ahead. No.
The goal, though, Neville, is to create economic mobility within the households. Mm-hmm. Our hopes is that every Virgin Island resident of the Virgin Islands Housing Authority that lives with us are able to see a pathway to their own financial freedom. And whatever they do with their financial freedom when they get there, whether is it they want to stay with us till death do us part, which mm-hmm. is always an option, or become home buyers in the Virgin Islands on their own. We want to make sure that they know there's a path to that and give them the opportunity to take advantage of the places that need to be done in order to follow that path.
So, Mr. Lewis, you're responsible for marketing and communications, not just for this program or throughout Housing Authority?
Primarily, I focus right now on this department.
Yeah.
But, you know, I am at the disposal of the whole entire agency.
Okay, that's good.
Yes.
Wait, I just noticed something. You coming back, yeah?
Yeah. I told you, Dina coming.
Yeah. Okay, thank you, boss. Okay, cool.
We're invading the area.
Yeah. No, that's cool. That's cool. the residents in this particular program make up what percentage of the total amount of residents in the Housing Authority umbrella?
Well, it's not really a program. We're a department.
Yeah.
But we serve everyone, from everyone who's living in the public housing mm-hmm. and in the housing choice voucher.
What's the public housing big figure now, though?
The total amount of residents?
Total amount of residents, yeah.
1950.
1918.
Oh,
18. Yeah, in VH. 19, VIHA.
Yeah.
And for ATV is 1441.
ATV.
H.
HTV.
HCV.
HCV.
Break it down. Housing choice voucher. Formerly known as Section 8.
Section 8.
Yes.
Okay, there we go.
Yes.
So that number you said is what?
1441. 1,441.
So you're over 1,300 strong, over 3,300 strong, right?
Right.
19 and 14, right?
Yeah.
And this particular department is at 500?
Well, needs assessments.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons why we're out here on this campaign mm-hmm. for Stay in the Loop, because mm-hmm. we want everyone to stay in the loop. As Director Perez-Casas just broke down, the goal is helping everyone to level up. Right, and it's across the board, no matter whatever dimension of wellness in the area of your life that you need, that you've identified.
So you would prefer, you would want all 3,300 to be within the wellness development, wellness empowerment,
yes,
loop,
yes,
right.
And if it's up to you what you want to do with the information, but our job is to get that information out there to you. Once you're in the loop, the ball is in your court, and
I'm just doing the math. Mm-hmm. So are we 2,800 strong or 500 strong? In other words, as relates to need.
Need. I would say 500 strong so far.
So that means they got another 2,800 over there.
To go. The work still continues.
Okay.
That's why we're out here
beating
the pavement.
And you know, Neville, our people, we love them. But you know, everybody ain't into this, right? So we that's why we here for Staying in the Loop. We're trying to get them energized around the idea of staying in the loop. So the first 500 in the first year said, we're going to take this chance and see what it's like. We're going to give you information. We're going to talk about things that we don't usually talk about. And we're going to put a plan together to help me get there. We want more people to do the same thing. We want this approach to be a part of the system, like recertification.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, bringing in your check stubs, we want you to make sure you come in and get your wellness assessment done so that we can help support your household needs.
And it's also not just about
Hold on right a second. We'll take a break when the conversation is good, you know.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
We're
just
getting
warmed up.
We just flow. So we'll take a break. We've got the Virgin Islands Housing Authority resident wellness empowerment leadership team here in the studio. We'll take a break as we go to Stay in the Loop program. I'll be back right after this.
Bank of St. Croix has something for everyone. With two locations, the Bank of St. Croix provides personal and business checking accounts, online banking, and mobile apps for banking on the go, a nonprofit community investment checking account, and a 24-hour banking cash management platform. Bank of St. Croix, Gallows Bay, Bank of St. Croix, Peters Rest, and online, bankofstcroix.com. For details about our nonprofit community investment checking account, our service specialists are ready to help. Bank of St. Croix, member FDIC.
Morning Edition takes you across this country and around the world with stories that keep you informed and the context to understand what matters. The news comes at you quickly, but we slow it down to examine each story from different angles and give perspective on what might happen next. A brand new day comes with new possibilities and a new edition of Morning Edition from NPR News.
Morning Edition, weekdays at 5 a.m. to 8 a.m. on WTJX FM 93.1.
You know a good story when you hear it. Makes you feel, laugh, think. Sometimes you get a little teary. I'm Scott Simon, host of Weekend Edition Saturday, and each week we bring you stories from around the country and around the world. Stories that help you learn, make you smile, catch you by surprise. Please join us every Saturday for the news you need and the stories you won't forget.
Weekend Edition, Saturdays at 9 a.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
Weekday mornings are a juggle, sometimes even a struggle. Morning Edition from NPR News eases you into your day and keeps you company through the chaos of a busy morning. Hear interviews that give you context on the day's biggest stories, along with reporting and updates on the latest breaking news. Stay on top of the world with Morning Edition every weekday.
Morning Edition, weekdays at 5 a.m. to 8 a.m. on WTJX FM 93.1.
And we're back here and analyze this, and I got Ms. Emanuela Perez-Casillas, Director of the Resident Wellness Program in the Virgin Islands Housing Authority. I got Mr. Curtis Lewis, Marketing and Communication Specialist, and we've got the Strategic Initiatives and Programs Coordinator, Mr. Ajani Azibo Brown. Double yes. A-B or A-A-B? Which one? How you want it? Or A-double? You know what I'm saying? However it is.
Just Ajani Azibo.
Just Ajani. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, we're good with that. And Miss Adina Joseph is excused. Officially excused by the host. And she'll make it up to me later on down the road. So, Mr. Lewis, I had to cut you off there. You were talking about the need for, you know, a continuous presence, a voice, an understanding, and that you're still in your infancy for the most part as it relates to assessments, because, right, you know, at 500 out of 3,300, we still, let me see, 5 out of 30 is 1 out of 6. So, you know, still about 12%.
Yeah, well, we're hopeful 12, because... Yeah. You know, we're on the topic of math. Mm-hmm. You know, I think compounding interest is on our side. Mm-hmm. You know, so by next year,
oh my god,
we're going to double and triple that.
Oh my god! You know? Yo, man. Don't leave, man. Don't leave. That's the type of thing I wake up for in the morning. I'm not a morning person, but I get here for this type of thing. Compounding it, yo. Wow, man.
You understand? Yeah. We have
I
to
get
best
paid
best.
To hear this kind right. of awesome stuff. Yo, hey, yo, you know something? I owe it to the public, right, to explain at some point, it might even be today, the difference between compounded interest and straight interest. You know what I'm saying? Oh, man, you don't know what you just did. You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm talking about. So,
that's what we do.
Yo, where'd you go to school at, man? You know what I'm saying?
YouTube University.
I like that. You know something? I'm going to digress now. Because I want the public to know.
Yes.
I did a podcast on Planet Money, which is
one of my favorite podcasts.
And we spoke about the Rum Wars.
I heard that episode.
And they came down here. I was in New York 2.5 weeks ago. I'm driving on the Belt Parkway. Mike Canton, who does the Soul Show. That's the name of the show, right? Danny, the Soul Show here. It's a syndicated show. He calls me, you know, and he said, Planet Neville. right? So I'm like, yo, I guess he heard the podcast.
Yes.
And then one of my schoolmates, Paige Green, the next day she texts me. So clearly, right? NPR has his following in the Virgin Islands and with Virgin Islands nationally and all that stuff. So I'm out there. And then Clifford Graham calls me last week, Tuesday or Wednesday, to tell me he just heard it. He's a former senator as well. And mm-hmm. he knows about housing. He used to run the housing authority, the housing, Virgin Islands Housing Finance Authority mm-hmm. back in the day. So you mentioned compounded interest, right? We, you're at 500 plus, right? Out of 3,300, right? So you're hoping that to double that number, right? So that the public understand the beauty of compounded interest, mm-hmm. right? The next level, right, won't be from 500 to 1,000 and then from 1,000 to 1,500. The next number is going to be from 1,000 to 2,000. That's what you're saying, right?
That's right.
Right? That's the compounding nature mm-hmm. we're talking about, right? How do you go about doing that? I mean, coming out and analyze this is really a good way to do it. One of the good ways to do it, but there has to be a strategy.
The strategy is BrightPath, and it's already been established. It's already been put into place, and now we're just out here working the program,
mm-hmm.
right? We have the resident councils. We have our coordinators. We have FSS, which is the Family Self-Sufficiency Program. So it's this 10 of us, which are, well, 9 of us now who are in this department, mm-hmm. but then there's tentacles that are spread throughout the community based on the work that we have been doing, the partnerships that we have been being engaged with. We're constantly adding on new partners, constantly adding on council members. So the council members advocate for the community, and then they also in return grab more people. So it's not just the 9 of us who are spreading the word. The councils are spreading the word. Our community partners are spreading the word.
The resident commissioners.
The commissioners are spreading the word. Mm-hmm. The community, the 500 that we've already touched, you know, when it comes to advertising, you know, you don't just, you know, just market broadly to everybody. You start with the people that you already have, and then those people become your apostles, and then they help you spread the word as well. You know what I mean? So if anyone who is out of the 500 who is on the newsletter, you know, if their neighbor is not on the newsletter, they're going to encourage their neighbor as well to get on the newsletter as well. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's an approach that is across the board that's going to reach more people than we possibly could reach physically by ourselves. Us coming on this air right now on the Analyze This show, any of our residents or any potential future residents who are listening to this show could then be added to that 2,000. You know, so the work just keep continuing, but they have to be able to stay in the loop. Mm-hmm. Once they're in that loop, then they'll be able to help increase those numbers and get us to that target goal that we're trying to go.
Exactly.
And right now we're celebrating our first year anniversary of our newsletter,
mm-hmm.
you know, which we're excited about, we're energized about. Right now the number is at about 500.
Yeah. But coming in, we had to build that whole
yes.
base.
We started at zero.
We started at zero, including the amount of good contact we had for email addresses. So we've been building this compound up over the year also. So 500 is the direct impact. But like Curtis talked about, we have our quality of life consortium that's running, where we meet with them twice a year and over a quarterly review, and we solve challenges together. We're also out there making sure that our resident councils are meeting with partners in the community. So Ajani is not only electing resident councils and getting them into the lieutenant governor's office to make sure that they're ready and prepared to do business as a council. We're also making sure that partners in the community are connected directly to them. So don't come to VIHA, mm-hmm. reach out to the resident council, because the resident council can help get out there the service that you're looking for them. So this compounding is like 6 things happening at the same time, and then throwing tentacles out on every level. So we intend to meet our compounded goal, now that I know that word.
No. I can break it down a bit more for you down the road, though. Mm-hmm. But I noticed something just now with Ajani, though. Ajani, you didn't conduct this election just to say you conduct this election. I noticed just now when we're talking about all inclusive, you made sure that he recognize the resident commissioners as well.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right? You didn't just do this thing to say you do it. After the election, they got work to be done.
Yes.
And roles to play going forward.
Yes. And they receive training too. We're actually leading the training. They receive training on their bylaws, on their roles and responsibilities. And then we also go into like 4 additional supplementary trainings where we touch on topics like communication, community-based participation, council business operations with transparency and impact focus. And yeah, we make sure that they're fully trained because we want to make sure that they're able to go out there and actually make that difference in the community. And like we mentioned, they are registered nonprofit organizations within the Lieutenant Governor's office. So they do have the capability and power to go out there and form those connections with community partners. And they're fully funded too. So whether it be, you know, those connections that they form or the community coming together in their community meetings and saying, hey, this is what we're going to spend the money on. They have the power. We're about empowering them. Resident wellness and empowerment.
Yeah, one of the things that we focus on when we go out to canvas the communities as well is that exact same thing. Like, what does your community need, right? Every time we speak to our more experienced Virgin Islanders who've been around for a while, they say, you know, back in the days, we used to have basketball tournaments for the kids and we used to have like, you know, barbecue cookouts and all that. Well, we say, okay, whatever you think your community needs, right? We're here to empower you as well, get you the tools that you need to level up. Mm-hmm. But what are some of the more vocational things and things that you need to help improve your environment? Is, you know, that's part of wellness as well. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a whole wellness approach. Whatever you think is missing, Mr. Johnny Brown just mentioned, and you are funded, you know, the resident councils, you have money to take care of these things, right?
They have these meetings too, monthly meetings, right, where, you know, they invite out all the residents from the community and they have an agenda where they're discussing different matters, whether it be areas of interest or concern. And I've participated in these meetings before and they give the residents a chance to speak, voice any concerns that they have. And I'd like to mention that, you know, other participants are in these meetings as well, such as senators and other agencies. So your voice is being heard.
That's good to hear. So you're wanting to know how you could impact the resident wellness program. It's not limited to YouTube University, is what you're saying? you're actually talking to the students?
Yes.
Okay. We're good with that.
So, it's about spreading the word, you know, social proof.
Let's go through the needs through the eyes of the resident wellness empowerment leadership as it relates to these different facilities that we got here in the Virgin Islands, right? So when I call out these entities, don't be afraid to talk about what you would want for this particular entity given its location and all that stuff, right? So let me start with the Knowles at Canton. That they're up on a hillside there. When you reach the Nisky, right? The Nisky stoplight, and you hang that right to go up on a hill, they're on the right hand side, right? That's the location, right?
Uh-huh.
Right. And so that they're kind of unique, right? Cause typically a lot of the facilities dug in a flat area, but these people got, you know, a nice view and all that stuff up there. So but I think y'all have maxed out, or that development has literally maxed out that particular area, because they got a lot of private residences are in that area as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
So a unique facility like that, what are you looking at in terms of resident wellness and
five? We are looking for 5 candidates to run for our phase 3 elections. That's what we're looking for. Okay. So we're trying to build that community up from the inside with the people, not necessarily just the infrastructure. We're trying to prepare the community for any work that's about to come down on the infrastructure so that they are able to make, because like you said, they're up on the hill. Mm-hmm. Sometimes when you're so far away, your voice is not heard. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to get a strong team inside of there. And their elections is coming up. When, Ajani?
The end of June.
June. So
we're still looking for candidates, and that's going to be the phase 3 elections. And like, you know, we do them in phases. So it's not just the Knowles at Content. We also have Candido Guadalupe here in St. Croix and Marley Homes in addition as well.
Mm-hmm.
So all three of those communities are going to be on the election come end of June.
Okay, so I'm going to let you go find out, right? I always pronounce that last syllable as Guadalupe.
Guadalupe.
Okay.
Guadalupe.
Okay. When you leave here, uh-huh. You're not looking at Guadalupe. You know what I'm saying? Okay. So they got a phase three election coming up as well?
Yes, yes. As I mentioned, it's Candido Guadalupe.
That's right. That's Guadalupe. And that one is located where?
That's right next to Arodia's Mid Island.
That's Friesen Bog.
Yes.
That's Friesen Bog, right across from the school.
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yes,
okay, yes. So we knock out two of them there.
Then you get Marley Homes and Addition right there by the beachfront, you know, by the market.
That's beachfront property.
That's paradise. Beautiful. That's beautiful.
Not people could call it what they want, mm-hmm. but you know, I have a friend of mine, and you know, he told me this story that freaked me out. He said when the man come from the States and he look at Marley Thunder, he said, these people complain about living.
they got condos on the beach.
Seriously.
It's
true. No, they might get insulted because people, people just naturally they get offended. But the reality is your crib, that's the term we use, right? Mm-hmm. Your crib right there on the beach in Fredericksted. I mean, whether you could get vexed out of your what? Right, Marley Project is beachfront property, literally and figuratively.
We were recently over there canvassing, like, you know, we've been doing a lot for the last couple of years, yeah. And there are some beautiful apartments.
Over there, nice.
There's people that take so much pride. And like, I literally go from doorstep to doorstep and see the flowers and the plants. Yeah. And they're really beautiful.
Not only that, Marley got a lot of history. Mm. A lot of great Virgin Islanders grew up in Marley and Harriet.
And we learned that canvassing because they're always dropping history.
I'm telling you.
Always dropping history.
So the phase, the what's it, phase three election?
Yes, phase three resident council election.
Resident council, so Knowles at Content, Candido Guadalupe, that's in the Friesen Bog area, Marley.
Marley Homes and Additions.
One and two?
Yes.
Okay. And so who else got phase three elections coming? That's it?
Just those,
Those three. And that, all of them going to be in June?
Yes.
Same
end
day?
End of June.
End of June, same day. Okay, good.
Not same date. We do each one on its own date.
And it's in the, okay. Yes. Okay, that makes sense. So,
Resident council applications are due Monday, June 3rd by 5 p.m.
Who do you contact to get that?
You can contact me or you can reach out to your property management office.
Okay, good. Is there a general number that they can call if they're listening right now?
Yes. My phone number is 340-690-5171.
Okay, good.
That's 340-690-5171. Okay. And my email address is A as in Apple, J as in John, Brown like the color at vihousing.org. That's A as in Apple.
AJB.
Yes, sir.
Dot.
AJ Brown at vihousing.org.
At vihousing.org. Okay, good. So we go with that. Lucinda Millen right there in the corner. That different though. That's right next to Pacing Garden, right?
Yes.
Right. So you're knocking out two of them. That is a unique situation, and I'll let you guys think about this over the break. Because it's right across the street from a heavy commercial corner. Activity center. You know what I'm saying? With Yacht Haven, right? That's right across, right across the street. So that one requires some finesse, right? But again, that's another, that one there, replete with history. When you talk about, matter of fact, people get offended. You know what I'm saying? When you said new housing with Oswald Harris Court, they say, no. You know, the original housing is Pacing Garden. You know what I'm saying? But we try to tell them, no, I don't graduate. No, I got special name. I is a ghettos. You know what I'm saying?
PMP actually has a council as well.
That's what I'm talking about. You know what I'm saying? So we're good with that. We got Miss Emanuela Perez Cassius, Mr. Curtis Lewis, and Mr. Ajani Azibo Brung, just Ajani for shot, joining us here in the studio this morning with the Virgin Islands Housing Authority Resident Wellness Empowerment Program. We come back, we'll also talk a little bit about the new leader, right, in the mix. Listen to Analyze This here on your NPR station in the U.S. Virgin Islands, WTJX-FM. Be back right after this.
Get Get informed with Analyze This as former Senator Neville James features Virgin Islands newsmakers from around the territory and beyond. Neville dives deep into politics, art, culture, history, and sports. Analyze This, weekdays from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on WTJX 93.1.
Race is complicated. On Code Switch, we don't dumb it down for you.
And on Life Kit, we have advice on everything from money to mental health.
It's Code Switch and Life Kit from NPR.
Saturdays at 2 p.m. on WTJX FM.
Join me to rally to read 100 books.
Reading is Fundamental invites you to visit rallytoread.org today to learn about our reading campaign. Join the pledge to read 100 books. Hear your child's favorite authors read their books and find activities to keep young readers motivated. Teachers can also enter the Rally to Read sweepstakes for a chance to win 100 books for their own school, subject to rules. Visit rallytoread.org today.
Rally to Read!
The PBS NewsHour has a rich legacy of in-depth reporting and strong storytelling.
Only four people have sat in that chair before us, and the enormity of this moment is not lost on me. People turn to us because they know they can hear from trusted sources of information and news.
That won't change a bit, even as the faces behind the desk change.
Good evening. I'm Jeff Bennett.
And I'm Amna Nawaz.
Weekdays at 7 p.m. on WTJX TV, Channel 12.
Human beings have been making music for tens of thousands of years. It brings us together. It has the power to communicate emotions and ideas. It's a profound part of the human experience. Hear the stories behind the music you love and new music you might fall in love with. I'm Raina Duras. Join me for in-depth interviews with artists who are continuing that musical history on World Cafe.
Weekdays at 10 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1.
And we're back here on Analyze This with the compounding interest, you know what I'm saying? The man himself, you know what I'm saying? YouTube University, Mr. Curtis Lewis, joining me this morning along with Emanuela Perez for Juan Papo Casillas, you know what I'm saying? And Mr. Ajani Brown here in the studio. So, that Lucinda Mellon Peace and Garden thing right across from Yadhaven, right? That's something that St. Thomas has balanced for 50, 60 years, 70 years, however long it is. I know Hazel Harris came into the fold in 62 or 63, somewhere around there. We were talking about that the other day, me and my godfather. So talk about Peace and Garden and Lucinda Mellon.
So when you talk about Lucinda Mellon and Pearson Garden, you know that there's been changes that's developed around those communities in the 50 years, right? So those communities are prime communities for walkability, for people having access. And Lucinda Mellon, that's specifically towards senior citizens and people with disabilities that live around the area, have access to shopping, hospital, doctors. So the only thing that's going to happen within those spaces is making sure that they're strengthened and connected to the outside services that help support those areas of need. So making sure that they stay connected closer with human services, put together some alignment programs, because there's already individual support that's happening within there, from tropical health to the Department of Human Services to the Department of Health that go in there. So we're going to continue to build that out. In regards to like the physical structure and the changes that they're going to do to help support and keep it up and running, those are areas and spaces that the new executive director, I'm sure right now, as he paints his vision for the authority, is putting together. But I don't have necessarily any preview of any changes that's happening physically to those places. Mm-hmm. But we're strengthening the services inside of those spaces by getting into all of these agreements and ensuring that these connections are made, whether it's through MOU or it's just through partnership, that the residents of those communities continue to live safely in place, mm-hmm. have access to all of these spaces that the outer community offers, but services that they need to be able to stride.
One of my listeners just corrected me to let me know that original housing is Berg's Home.
Really? Now, see, every day we don't learn something new.
It's true because
Berg is the original.
I was breaking a law.
Just drop it out. Go ahead.
Bring it along. I was on a cell phone on the GW Bridge, coming across from New York to New Jersey, talking to my godfather and my best friend father, Kenny Benjamin went St. Thomas. So you were talking about this Bayi. And Kenny Benjamin said, Neville, the only Bayi I know is a Bayi who are living around the field. Mm. That's which is where Berg's home is, right? So I said, so that's when Bayi admit to me, well, Neville, I had to live someplace before I went to piercing on it. So he actually transitioned, he's a physical transition from Borg's home into piercing on it. You know what I mean? So I want to thank my audience. Of course, you know, I got the best audience. They
You
know, I mean,
always teach us something. Yeah, yeah, they're just
better than the rest of them. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So that's why it's important to stay connected.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So we knocking out Berg's home one time as well. Since it's the first child, so to speak, you know what I mean? What going on up there?
We gotta market that.
So go do some homework. What going on up there?
So at HH Berg, we're still building out the residents' wellness assessments over there. They mm-hmm. have Ida Mendez, one of our coordinators in St. Thomas. Mm-hmm. She's in the community every Wednesday. She's serving and making sure that we find out who are the households that live in there. We're still trying to figure out who's vulnerable, which household is stable, and which household is moderate mm-hmm. and needs just a certain level of support to take them across the threshold.
Okay, good. Corwin Terrace had election.
Yes, they had. They were the part of phase one.
They were part of phase one?
Yes.
And that's Bournefield. Oh, right? That, when the Corwin Terrace is part private and part housing terrace? No. Or it's all private down there? All public down there?
All public down there?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think PMP has a section that's in a...
Yeah, PMP is co-op.
Okay,
yes.
Okay, that's what it is. Yeah. There we go. How are they making out down there?
They're pretty good. They're doing good.
And they're located right next to the university.
Yes.
And across from the airport. And also there's a there's a RT Park facility, RT Park entity.
Yes.
13D, I think it is, or something.
So Kerwin is one of those communities that Johnny spoke about earlier. Like, oh, they wanted to be able to have stuff in there for their children to do and activities for to do. And that council specifically mm-hmm. are using their resources and times to create those Saturday at programs, connecting the children outside with other, like the Bahamian group works with them.
Mm-hmm.
So they are one of those councils that we talk about where they're like, okay, our need is to make sure that our children are doing something, and that council is specifically working in those type of spaces. We have other councils that's trying to get home ownership for all of their residents. We have other councils that's just trying to get a place to look much more beautiful, right? Like they want to fix up their community physically so that it's a pretty place to live. But that's what we're telling you about the power of the councils. And when you ask about Kerwin, what comes to my mind is the children, right? Because I believe that's their motto. How are the children?
President Brown is really big on that too. So.
Yes. Yeah. And the lieutenant governor just placed his first sign.
Oh, addressing
all of our
streets initiative.
Yes, okay. and our councils
had a part in that as well. So basically, they were asking for feedback on what the names of the streets should be. So we forwarded that information to the council, and they were able to respond, provide feedback, and then we sent that back to the lieutenant governor's office. So that's what we're talking about when we say stay in the loop.
That's right. Yeah, okay. Community engagement is not just the authority making all the decisions for the residents. The residents also have an opportunity to be a part of that change, right?
Yes.
And there's also policy changes that are happening all the time too. And, you know, you being a former senator, you know a lot about policy and why it's important for the people of the Virgin Islands to be in the loop in terms of where policy changes is concerned.
Absolutely.
And that's why it's important for the councils to stay connected with the resident commissioners, because the resident commissioners are actually in VIHA's board meetings where, you know, these policies and changes are coming down. So from there, they're able to relay that information to the councils, who then relay it to the residents in their monthly community meetings, and vice versa. The councils are able to take the information from their meetings, pass it on to the commissioner, and then the commissioner share this in the VIHA board meeting.
And vote. The commissioners have a voting number inside of the board meeting. So we have two commissioners on the board, mm-hmm. and both of them vote. So if they hear...
The resident commissioner for St. Croix is Ashley Archibald. Mm-hmm. Big shout out to Mr. Archibald. And the resident commissioner for St. Thomas is Mr. Simba Abiff. A big shout out to Mr. Abiff as well.
And one lives in the Oswald Harris Court community.
And Mr. Archibald lives in Aradias Heights. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know Abiff.
Okay.
Everybody does. The family, the Mr. Abiff and Mrs. Abiff. And they are our resident council president and secretary.
He's like a Yankee twang, man.
Yeah. except when it comes down to hard discussions. That's when you don't realize he's a Saint Tomian in heart.
Bavoni, they have a council as well. Mm-hmm. They have a council as well. They were part of phase two election. So currently they're being onboarded right now. We actually have a training for them tomorrow, which is going to be virtually online on Microsoft Teams, where we'll be discussing council business operations with transparency and impact focus.
Mm-hmm. Oswald Harris, new housing.
Oh, that's on part of phase one.
That's phase one. They were part of the first set of elections.
Yeah, so phase one was Williams Delight, mm-hmm. Oswald Harris Court, and Kerwin Terrace.
Okay.
Phase two, which is currently being onboarded, is Aradias Heights, Paul and Pearson Gardens, and Estate Bavoni. And like I mentioned earlier, phase three is coming down the chain end of June, and that's going to be Candido Guadalupe, Marley Guadalupe.
Candido Guadalupe, Marley, and Knowles are content.
Yes.
Right? Those are the three that made phase three, right?
Yes.
So we got like, what, four or five phases? Because we got other entities as well, right?
Yes.
Down the road?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay, at least two more phases coming down the line.
Okay, good.
Which brings us
to St. Croix. So we already mentioned Williams Elect were part of phase one. Guadalupe going to be part of phase three along with Marley, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What about Pedro?
That's part of phase four.
Yes.
That's Wim?
Yes.
With Mr. Challenger.
Yeah. And that's one of those communities that we're focused
that's
on.
That's an elderly community?
I was just about to say yes. Okay. And so in that community, when we did our needs assessments, mm-hmm. they said they wanted more social engagement happening with them. And so this month, we're working directly with the Department of Human Services for the senior celebrations. And we're ensuring that those senior citizens that live within those communities have access to all the events by providing transportation, by making sure we connect the right names to the right people. And so we have tonight, we're going to be part of the mix and mingle at Diageo with all of the senior citizens this month.
Nice.
Yes, yeah. And last week we bowled and we did a wellness day at Canigata. And this is all, again, Neville, in keeping in the loop. Our partnerships and our loop is a nonstop energy between service providers, residents, VIHA, councils, individuals that just want to get in there and do a service to help out. This loop is a constant flow, and we're encouraging everybody to get in the loop with VIHA.
You said Aradias Heights was part of phase two?
Yes, sir.
Okay, good. Mount Pleasant, that's down the road?
Yes.
Yes. Mount Pleasant is there, up and running. It's one of those more stable communities. Not too many things happen in Mount Pleasant.
What about infrastructure? What Public Works telling I about our road when you're going to Mount Pleasant and the western side of the those are two or three buildings.
Yeah.
Yeah, on the western side that could take you into adventure, right? I'll talk to the agencies as well, the other central government agencies, or I will leave that to the director of the Virginia Housing Authority to flex.
Yep, that is exactly. Those are one of those spaces that we're depending on E.D. Alexander and Ms. Pell's leadership. You know, they do a really good job with staying connected with the other agencies. So I'm pretty sure they have an answer for that question mm-hmm. and where they stand on it. But movement is happening on all the levels. Physical infrastructure is being worked on. And we are over here making sure that the people, our greatest assets, have what they need to be able to live safely and in place.
Joseph James.
Joseph E. James. Well, that's my hype senior community. And yeah. I always celebrate. And they're the most physically fit set of senior citizens. Mm-hmm. Safara Emmanuel, our coordinator over there, has been working with Aziza and the Department of Health to ensure that they have weekly exercise programs happening inside of there. We're checking their biometrics. We're encouraging healthy eating. And we're giving them opportunities to do movie nights together, bingo games together. Because in their needs assessments, that's another thing that they said.
But they're in a good location.
They're in an excellent location. destination for walkability. The only problem is transportation on that side of the island.
And some safety issues there because people driving, but they've slowed that down. I guess what we've seen, give Sunny some credit.
Yes.
They put some speed bumps on that particular corner there.
Yes. So that makes a difference inside of it. But again, staying in the loop will make sure that we're able to connect with the right people to get those services back there, specifically around transportation.
My central angle.
Piggy Gerard, David Hamilton Jackson, and Kennedy are our next three projects that we're working on physically underneath the RAD program. Mm-hmm. And so they're making changes inside of there. And in the meantime, we're supporting by making sure we have identified all the households that are in those communities so that when these changes occur, we don't lose anybody or anybody falls out of the loop.
So are you waiting for the physical changes before you go to resident wellness route?
No, we're doing both at the same time. As a matter of fact, we've already begun doing assessments in those communities. Mm-hmm. So when the physical change happens, say for example, because
Simultaneously.
Yeah. You know, this jumping in between my Cruzan and my Yankee twine. I'm really good at code switching.
No, I love it.
Except when I'm talking to my people, and that is like, okay, let me tell you.
You're a Yankee, simultaneously.
Yeah. Simultaneously, we're working all of them at the same time. But never, you know, in order for us to fix one unit, we're going to have to move you to another.
That's what I heard.
Those are the things that's going to be happening. Those are inevitable. Mm-hmm. However, we're not going to lose you. We're going to make sure that everything is in place from moving you to helping you to make sure that you understand when you're coming back and staying in that communication level, making sure they know.
So that's for Kennedy and Red Brick as well?
Red Brick, Kennedy, and Piggy Gerard.
All three?
Okay. Yes. So there's just going to be some shifting happening. But while they're shifting, those residents going to stay in the loop with us and stay connected because we're keeping their information. Curtis is making sure that newsletters and everything is coming up with updated information. And we continue to be able to give them access to us. So they now know how to get in contact with Ajani, get in contact with Curtis, get in contact with me they have questions.
You can see me rushing. Got time flying.
Time is flying. And so, I don't want to miss anything.
No. So I want to ask you a question. What happened with the property what used to be Ralph D. Chabot project? Why you're here? Is there anything I could divulge?
So the only thing,
that's a near and dear deal with a lot of people from the Christian.
The only thing I could divulge right now is that our executive director has painted a vision where he's intending to build capacity within our portfolio as an authority, stabilize the authority, and make us a high-performing HUD authority. So whatever the plan is for that community.
Okay, that's what VIHA is, right? You are local HUD.
We are. We housed people through the HUD process. Okay, exactly. Okay, exactly. Okay. So under Housing Authority, we make sure that these individuals have subsidized housing, supports, and we make sure we maintain a portfolio within the Virgin Islands that allows us to continue to survive as an authority one, but house as many people as we can from low to moderate income.
The new leadership, the new head honcho is who?
Dwayne Alexander.
Okay. And he's assimilated well?
I'm walking with
making sure the man...
He hasn't wasted any time.
He's not new to the Virgin Islands either, Neville. So we ain't afraid of losing him to the Virgin Islands toughness. I feel like he's already understanding how to be VI tough. Mm-hmm. And so his ability to stay, I see it as a positive.
Okay, yes. Good. And he actually worked for the agency before too. So
yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So he not Nubian.
No, he not Nubian. And he worked us through the heart. Yeah, he true to this. Fact. Not new to this, true to this.
I could take a break and then I'm gonna excuse you with respect and niceness after the 9 o'clock break.
All right. Thank you.
Hold on a second. We'll be back right after this with the Virgin Islands Housing Authority Resident Wellness Department leadership. Be back right after this.
The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect those of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.
On Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, we are not afraid to stand up to the high and mighty like Jeff Bezos.
He had that big cowboy hat on. He looked like a shrink ray had hit Garth Brooks.
I'm Peter Sagal. Join me as we speak truth to power, at least until power agrees to buy us out, on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
Saturdays at 1 p.m. and Sundays at 2 p.m. right here on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
He said that black smoke was constantly coming out of the burn pits 24/7. And my reaction to it was like, wow, that doesn't sound very safe. I wonder what that's about. And in my mind, I couldn't imagine at the time that type of system operating could potentially harm our service members.
Journalism that seeks and reveals. That's On Point with me, Meghna Chakrabarty.
Weekdays at 1 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.